It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Samsung has released a virtual reality headset this week. It costs $200 and works with a smartphone. The Samsung Gear VR Innovator Edition utilizes a separate controller as well as a small storage card with games and, quote, experiences on it. But it's still arguably designed for real mainstream consumer use, and that has us wondering just how ready it is for prime time. Our friend and CNET.com editor-in-chief Lindsay Turrentine is here to talk face-based tech. Lindsay, good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
It's pre-Christmas. Is this thing something worth buying? What's the status? It costs $200 and you pop your phone into it?
This is Samsung's virtual reality headset, and it only works right now with the Samsung Galaxy Note 4. This is really Samsung's opening salvo in virtual reality. They are making it very, very clear that this is not a mass consumer launch. This is not completely done yet.
Is this like a growing challenge for those companies that really want us to get into virtual reality?
Absolutely. This is very, very early days, but it takes a long time to make the content for virtual reality situations. Making that content itself is expensive. And so these companies want to get people interested and then involved in the process of creating the content so that we can experience some sort of content economy around this.
What do you think is interesting about this particular, I don't know, headset release?
Well, you know, this is kind of the plastic and engineered version of the Google Cardboard headset, which started as almost kind of a joke, but is really just a piece of cardboard that you can slide a phone into to create virtual reality goggles. So it's a lot less oriented at gaming and a lot more oriented toward fooling around with virtual reality generally. And the fact that it works with a phone is sort of interesting. I mean, this is a very specific case where it works with only one phone. So I think they're fooling around with the idea that if you own one of many products, you can turn it into a virtual reality experience.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Lindsay, thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
There are so many bad jokes to make about information overload when it comes to our last quarter century of the World Wide Web and the Internet, and quite a few platitudes about burnout or the need to disconnect. I will not stoop to those lows. And get this, a new report out from Pew's Internet Project says to forget about too much information. Turns out a strong majority of Americans don't buy the idea of TMI. Over 70% feel that way.
For all of those complaints about information overload, most people wouldn't give up these information sources if it came to that.
But here's an interesting data point. Generally speaking, American adults feel good about being more informed when it comes to products and stuff you can buy. But when it comes to the people around you,
Only 39% of Americans said they feel more informed about their neighbors thanks to the Internet. So there's a commercial judgment that it's a good thing and adds more choice. And there's a sort of social judgment that in my local life, it's not really that big of a deal.
Rainey also noted that those responding to the latest survey are girded for even more information coming their way and seem generally positive about the coming Internet of Things. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that couldn't have happened without the support from listeners like you. So please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. The sharing economy might be raising the hackles of several established industries, but when it comes to hospitality, here's something the hotel business has on Airbnb. When you show up to your room, the brand is everywhere. The matches at the bar, the lapel of the bathrobe, the sign out front. When you show up to a private home, you're not reminded of the brand that put you there. Tim Fitzsimmons reports on how Airbnb is trying to change that.
Here's what it sounds like when you rent a place on Airbnb.
Very simple. You have your living room, dining room, kitchen.
Bob Thorson is a 26-year-old Airbnb host in Washington, D.C. Guests browse Airbnb.com, find his listing, and for $130 a night, they have a one-bedroom apartment in one of the city's coolest neighborhoods. But once you're inside, there's nothing here to show this is an Airbnb rental. Andrew Shapiro, head of brand creative teams at Airbnb, says he recognized that disconnect.
Every day, hundreds of thousands of people are traveling on Airbnb and staying in homes all over the world. And how do we actually share stories with those people who are on those travel adventures?
So this winter, Airbnb will publish its first issue of Pineapple, which will be sent to hosts and bookstores around the world. It will contain stories from three of its most popular cities, San Francisco, London, and Seoul. It's trying to address what other companies in the so-called sharing economy have faced when they make it big, moving their online success into real-world brand loyalty. Bjorn Hansen is a hospitality professor at NYU, and he says Pineapple can reinforce the idea behind the brand.
It kind of expresses how Airbnb can fit into the greater travel landscape, and that's part of the issue. People have some sense of Airbnb in general, but maybe not really how it fits in.
The area where Airbnb and its hosts haven't figured out how they fit in is with the law. New York's attorney general has set his sights on the company, which he says enables hosts to violate zoning and hotel laws. In fact, it was hard to find an Airbnb host willing to be interviewed. They said they worry about breaking the law, breaking their lease, their condo board rules, or just about irritating their neighbors. Thorsten owns his place, so he's okay. But some of his fellow host friends are renters. I asked him what they do.
They try to skirt it. They just hope that they don't get found out.
So guests will soon be able to flip through Pineapple to plan their next travel adventure, even if their hosts would prefer that nobody find out that they're there. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
And one last thing, Like Creeper is an app that plays with the idea of a common mistake, inadvertent Instagram likes. It's based on a kind of Russian roulette idea. You log in and the app picks a random ancient Instagram photo of one of your friends and likes it on your behalf. So your friend can be all, why were you looking at my old terrible Instagram photos? Yes, someone in a room with coding abilities came up with this idea. Maybe they're related to the people who started the Yo app. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.